All right. Well, hey, it's great to have you here this morning. As Eric said, we are in week number two of At the Movies, and we're taking a look at some of these spiritual fibers, and they're all over the place, you know, and this is something the Apostle Paul did actually in the Bible. He would always start with things going on in the culture, and then he'd eventually bring God into it. So we're taking a look at some of these blockbuster movies, and we're not necessarily endorsing these movies, but what we are saying is, you know, this raises some interesting questions about life. These are things that God, you know, has quite a bit to say about as well, and so we're really excited you're here this morning. My name's Kurt. I'm the lead pastor here at Cross Point, and if you're here today for the first time, again, I want to say welcome. Really excited you're here on this Sunday morning. We realize there's a lot of places you could be, and hey, you get some free movie tickets out of it. Really cool deal for you. And we're going to be taking a look today at this movie, Blended. And out of curiosity, how many of you have seen the movie Blended? Just so I know who I'm speaking to. I don't want to give too much out of the bag. My word, you are not a movie-going culture. All right, well, let me prep you a little bit on this. Adam Sandler, I mean, this is a little bit of a Romo. You know what a Romo is? Romantic comedy. I'm not really into those all that much. But this has Adam Sandler in it, right? So, I mean, you can't go wrong with Adam Sandler. And he plays a widowed father who goes on a first date with a divorced mother who's played by Drew Barrymore, and it's a disaster. I mean, it's terrible. You saw some scenes from it right there. And through a kind of a weird chain of events, they end up on the same African vacation, actually sharing a suite together. They have to learn how to get along, and there's all kinds of tension between them. And really, it raises questions about the tension that we experience as parents when we're trying to build into our kids, you know, regardless of whether you're married, not married, wanting to get married again, wherever that is, what it looks like to build into other relationships. And then ultimately, the one thing they come to agree on is this statement where they say, you know, listen, 100% of my life actually goes to my kids. And then they say, no, it's 99%. 99% of my life goes to my kids. And then they kind of live out the tension that creates of how you develop your marriage or your relationships with others. And so, you know, it creates an interesting question that I think we're all faced with. If you have any kind of family whatsoever, let's be honest, we're all a part of the family, whether it's the family you want or, you know, the family you were birthed into, whatever it might be. How do we build into our family? How do we build into future family, you know, with all of the tensions? I mean, how do we go after the ideal when there's reality that takes place? Because there's always a tension between ideal and reality. In fact, you know, what's real is you might be in the middle of a divorce right now. What's real is you might be in your second marriage and it's not going so well. What's real is some of you might be newlyweds and you're thinking, man, this is so hard. I didn't realize marriage was so hard. What's real is you've got children. They take a lot of time. What's real is you've got children and you don't like your children. You wish you had somebody else's children. You know, you see somebody else, you're like, man, I like those kids. You know, what's real is you might have a prodigal child. You know, you might be married to someone who doesn't want to come to church with you. And so how do we live in a way that we grow to what God desires for our family? And it's interesting because when we look at the Bible, Jesus makes it painfully clear that there is a tension between the real and the ideal. And, you know, what's kind of a bummer is, you know, well, this is the cool part. So here's first the cool part, then the bummer part. The cool part is, you know, while Jesus taught toward the ideal, while he calls us toward the ideal, he never condemns us when we fall short. That's the really cool part of what Jesus was always about. He never condemns us when we fall short. Now, the bummer part is there's really no good pictures of family in the Bible. All right, I mean, if you go to the Old Testament, if you feel like your family is dysfunctional, man, take a read through the Old Testament this week. You will feel better after reading about these families. It's dysfunction all over the place. I mean, it is crazy. And the New Testament, it's not much better. In fact, we don't really have any pictures of a family dynamic in the New Testament. What we do have, the New Testament is the part of the Bible where Jesus is living, and then the days following that. And what we do have in the New Testament are some principles that Jesus builds into, and then some of the writers right after him, like the Apostle Paul and Peter, actually build into and blow up and kind of say, okay, this is what family looks like, the dynamics of family. So I want to talk about these today, and specifically one of them is we think about how do we build into future family. So here, kind of in summary, are the four big main ideas where we get pictures of kind of things God calls us to within the family. The first one says this. It says, husbands, love your wives and be considerate. All right, and these, by the way, are all found in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. You'll find all of these kind of statements that call us to our family relationships. Wives, submit to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. That's pretty much the whole New Testament on family right there, all right? And you look at those, and you're like, my word, Kurt, these are so ideal. I mean, you know, husbands, love your wives perfectly. I mean, how in the world am I going to do that? And, you know, wives, submit to your husbands. Have you met my husband? You're like, have you met him? If you met him, you wouldn't be able to submit to him. Children, obey your parents. And you students in the room are thinking, my word, my parents haven't had a new thought since 1981. I mean, how do I obey that when everything's old? And fathers, don't exasperate your children. And some of you are thinking, well, my children exasperate me. I mean, what are you talking about, exasperate the children? And so, you know, these are you know, you talk about ideal. These are like the ideals right here. And as soon as we look at that, you're like going down the list, you're scanning the list. You're like, okay, fail. Fail, fail, my fathers fail. You know, so it's like, what do we do with the idea, the tension between the ideal and the real? I mean, do we just bail on the ideal? Do we just say, oh, I'm not going to have to do those? Those don't apply to us anymore? You know, Jesus says, no, I'm not going to let you off like that. And so Jesus, what he calls us into is this tension between the real and between the ideal. Now today, I'm going to tackle one of these, and I decided I'd tackle the most difficult one on that list. So as you look up there, just think to yourself, you know, which one of those is probably the most politically incorrect statement up there, the one that you're just like, oh, I hate when that comes up, especially women. They're like, oh, I hate this statement, you know, right there. Yeah, we're going to tackle that one today. All right, so this is why this is so important, all right? Before I lose, especially you women, this is why this is so important. This is an extremely important application that was given to women, but what's fascinating is it's a principle given to everyone, all right? This is what most people don't know. Most people don't realize this is a very specific teaching that was really a part of a bigger overarching principle that was given to everyone. It just happens in this verse we're going to look at. The Apostle Paul is just specifically talking to women. All right, so here's exactly what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. He says, wives, submit to yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Now, ladies, here's what you need to know about this verse, all right? Whenever a man brings this verse up with me, all right, we're sitting in a counseling session, you know, and whenever a man would bring this verse up as it relates to his wife, it's usually kind of like, well, you know, doesn't the Bible say, and isn't it God's intention? And I always say, hey, what's the first word? What's the first word in that passage right there? And usually they're like, well, I don't know. So we open up a Bible or we get a Bible app out and we go to Ephesians 5:22, and I'm like, read it. What's the first word? What's it say there? Wives, yeah. I'm like, this was written for your wives, all right? You should, there's verses that start with husband. You should really pay attention to those. Let her worry about the ones that start with wives. All right, women, I got your back on this, all right? I'm with you. I got what you're feeling on this. All right, and so this is why this is so important right here, because there's a general teaching that this comes out of, and it's a teaching of Jesus. Jesus was always about love. In fact, he talked about, you know, when he was put in a corner by the Pharisees, you know, they said, hey, what's the most important thing? And what did Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he said, and love your neighbors as yourself. You know, I mean, he always talked about love. He's always blowing out love as the overarching principle. And so the Apostle Paul, he comes after Jesus. The Apostle Peter, he comes after Jesus. And they're watching all of these new church communities sprout up just after Jesus had been on the earth. And these people who are now Christians, and they're trying to figure out what it means to follow God. And they're trying to figure out, what does that have to do with my family? And so they're like, well, gosh, there's no real applications in what Jesus said that apply to the family. And so what would it look like if we take some of Jesus' teachings and we actually apply them to the family dynamic? So Paul comes along and he takes this central teaching that Jesus applies to everyone, and he says, let's apply this to family. And it just so happens that in this verse right here, he says, wives. Now, understand, this is actually an interesting thing, because the verse right before this, go back one verse, Ephesians 5:21, actually is something that holds us all accountable. Take a look at it. It says, submit to one another. This is for everyone. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, what's fascinating here is the next verse, he's actually saying, hey, wives, see, women, this whole other teaching, women in that culture there was basically no social standing. Women were basically just above animals. All right, so they never even got a mention. And so this is actually saying, hey, wives, you actually have a responsibility in the family. Paul is actually calling women to the same responsibilities as everyone else in the family, including men. He just gives the overarching principle first, and then he says, and wives, you are to live by this as well. And so in other words, when you say, hey, I'm somebody who's a follower of Jesus, or I'm somebody who's interested in trying to figure out what it means to follow Jesus, I'm a church person, or even if, you're an atheist, this is a picture, Jesus says. He says, this is a picture of what it means to function in family, and there's this one overarching principle that applies to everyone. He says, I'm going to apply it to you, and here's the main idea of this verse. Ephesians 5:21 says, everybody ought to submit to everybody in the family. Another way we would say this is it's called mutual submission. He introduces this concept of mutual submission. Everybody submits to everyone. And he says, I'm going to show you what it means to apply it. All right, I'm going to walk this out, what it means to be fully present, what it means to create not only current but future family where your family is thriving. And wives, there's certain things you're supposed to do. And husbands, there's certain things you're supposed to do. Kids, students, listen, there's things you're supposed to be doing in this picture. And then dads, there's things you're supposed to do. And so when he says, wives, submit to your husbands, he's basically taking a teaching that's intended in the verse previous for everyone and also saying, wives, you too are to be living by this. And notice why he says this. He says, do this out of reverence for who? Christ. He says, because sometimes, let's be honest, the other person's not worth doing it for. We don't feel that way, at least. Now, this is a powerful, powerful thing. Now, listen, I'm going to give you a question in a few moments, and this question could change. I mean, this literally could change your family dynamics. I mean, this could take your family from where it currently is to an entirely new place. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian. Doesn't matter if you're here for the first time, if you're just trying to figure out God. This concept of mutual submission will literally be a game changer in your family, because in essence, it's saying, hey, what is it that I bring to the table? What is it that I have assets in? What is it in my power and my leverage that I can bring to help you go up? What is it that I can help you bring to elevate you? It doesn't matter if you're a father, a mother, a grandfather, a brother, a sister, if your in-laws are living with you right now, this applies to the entire family. How can I get up under your burden, just like Jesus did for us? That's what Jesus did. He got up under our burden of sin. He said, I'm going to bring everything I have, my power, my authority, I'm going to leverage all of my resources and get up under you so that you actually can go. And so Peter and Paul, these New Testament writers, they're watching this, they're observing this, and they're just overwhelmed with the grace and the mercy that comes out of Jesus' life for people that he has authority over, and that Jesus would actually leverage his power for other people. And they're reminded of this event that took place in the upper room. Right before Jesus went to the cross, he had dinner with some of his closest friends, his disciples. And this is a very dynamic moment, what took place in that upper room. In fact, there's this moment where Jesus realized in that moment, it says he realized all authority and power has been given to him. It's this moment where everything comes together right there. And take a look at what he does next. It says, so after he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet. You know who washed the feet of people in that culture? Slaves. Slaves, the house servants. And Jesus, the very first move he makes, when all power and authority is given to him, and the disciples are, it's like wigging them out. They're like, Jesus, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be like getting down and washing our feet. We should be washing your feet. Jesus, you have the power. You have the authority. And Jesus basically says, hey, no, when you get the power, when you get the authority, the very first move you make when you receive that is you actually take on the posture of serving. And even more so, the more power and the more authority you have, you even in more ways take on the posture of serving. Well, Paul's blown away by this. I mean, he's observed, men who were in that room, and he's blown away by what took place. And he's like, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this. So what it means to mutually submit to one another is just like when Jesus received his authority, everyone in the family, the way we apply this to the family is everyone in the family, everyone submits to one another because of what Christ did for us. And the more power, the more authority you have, the more you take on the posture of being a servant. And he introduces this idea into the family context of mutual submission. See, mutual submission is basically saying, hey, I'm here for you. I'm here. My life is here to help your life be better. That's what mutual submission is. And then there's a single question that I want us to look at today and kind of walk out what this looks like in our lives. And this is the thing that blows this whole deal out today, all right? And some of us aren't going to like this question, all right? But this is the question that mutual submission begs us to ask. All right, are you ready for the question? I know you're all on the edge of your seat. You're like, all right, what's the question? Here's the question. What can I do to help? That's the question. It's a simple question. What can I do to help? In fact, we don't like to say this question. All right, let's just say this out loud together. Now, if you're listening on a podcast, driving in your car, or you know, you've downloaded this and you're listening in your living room and there's other people around, you might say this quietly because somebody might answer you. If you say it too loud, somebody might immediately give you a response, right? So here we go on the count of three. Everybody here on the podcast as well. One, two, three. What can I do to help? See, that wasn't so bad. It's an easy question. Let's say it one more time. One, two, three. What can I do to help? Listen, this is a game-changing question right here. All right, can you imagine what would happen in your family if every single morning, every person in your family would say to one another, hey, what can I do to help this morning? Listen, this would change. It would change students, children, high school students. Listen, this is a game changer for you. Your parents will be shocked, all right? Your parents, you walk in and you're like, you come home from church today and you're like, hey, mom and dad, what anything I can do to help right now? They're going to be like, who took my kid? What aliens came and abducted you? And you know, where'd my child go? You're not my child. I mean, listen, you might get control of your family if you do this today, all right? I mean, this question changes the family. If you really want to look good in your family, kids, do this. You know, the next time your mom and dad have like a dinner party and they have some of their friends over, and just as everybody's getting ready to sit down at dinner, you just walk in front of their friends and say, hey, mom and dad, just want to check in and see if there's anything I can do to help. Their friends are going to be like, oh, teach us. We know nothing about parenting. We thought we did. They're going to be like bowing down to you. Like, well, how did you get them to do this? I'm telling you, kids, this will change your family. Parents. Now, depending on what stage of parenting you're in, all right, we're all in different phases, and some of you have parents that are out of the, you know, kids out of the home. Some of you aren't parenting yet. You still can begin to let this soak in. All right, because one of the things I've learned about parenting is it can go negative very, very quickly. All right, and so, you know, you're always coaching, correcting, mentoring, you know, whatever it might be, depending on the phase that you're in. And listen, I want to challenge every single one of us this morning that are parents to go home today and to look at every one of our kids eyeball to eyeball and just say, hey, honey, what can I do to help you today? What can I do to help? And they're going to look at you and they're going to be like, gosh, I don't know. They're probably not even going to know what to do because you've never asked them that question. You know, they're getting ready to run out the door. Hey, mom, I'm going out to someone. Hey, honey, is there anything I can do to help? And your son's out trying to build something in the garage, you know. Hey, honey, what can I do? Honey, dude, what can I do? I got three girls and a son. I have to correct myself. What can I do to help you? Anything I can do right now? Anything I can bring to this situation, anything I have power or I have, you know, I have access to that you don't, that I can bring into this situation to help you be a little better off. And you know what this question does? This actually neutralizes. I mean, things can go so negative in the parenting relationship so fast. And I realize, I mean, we're all busy. I mean, I'm busy, you're busy, everybody's busy. And if you're a single parent, man, you are, hats off to you, all right? Because, I mean, I think it's one of the hardest roles in the world is being a single parent. And if you're a parent that has mom and dad at home or you're a blended family, whatever it looks like, listen, I get it. Life is busy. I mean, if you're working two jobs, you're trying to get home and get dinner on the table and get kids to sporting events or evening events and back home for, you know, for bedtime and all that. And when we just take a moment and say, hey, kids, I know it's been crazy, but is there anything I can do to help you? You know, when your kids are frustrated, is there anything I can do just right now? Anything I can bring to the situation? Ladies, wives, girlfriends, fiancés who are approaching marriage. This is a very, very powerful question right here. It's a very powerful question. And listen, you know what us men are going to say, right? We're going to be like, I don't need any help. I'm good. I mean, you know, we're kind of like, we always like to do it ourselves. But see, when you ask the question, though, here's what happens when you ask the question. You're basically saying, hey, I'm aware that there's a responsibility and a burden that you carry. You said, hey, I'm aware that there's a responsibility you carry for our family. I'm aware that there's a load that you carry. I'm not trying to interfere. I'm just trying to say, hey, is there anything that I can do with my extra time or with the gifts that I have or with the leverage that I have to help you go faster and further? Honey, is there anything I can do to help? I mean, anything I can do, you know, in what God's called you to be in our family or to be at your work, is there anything I can do to help? It's a game changer. I'm telling you, ladies, it's a game changer. Men, I'm going to address you here in just a moment, all right? Because see, here's what's interesting. We get really scared with this question. Some of you are like playing this out in your mind already. You know, because this is a very, very powerful question. And for some of us as men, you know, we're like, well, in my home, man, aren't I supposed to be like the leader? And yet I'm like asking what I can do to help. And here's the thing. I mean, you're not smarter than your wife. I mean, God knows we're not smarter than our wives, all right? I mean, I tell Julie that all the time. She's way smarter than I am. In fact, she's a way better leader than I am. I tell her that all the time. I'm like, I don't know how I got in charge of leading our family. I don't know what God was thinking because, man, the world would be better if women were in charge. I mean, we have less wars and less people in prison, and, you know, it'd just probably be better all the way around. And so that's a question I have for God sometimes. God, what were you thinking with these testosterone-driven guys, you know, providing all this leadership? But see, here's the thing. It's a powerful question. When you say to your wife, guys, your girlfriend, your fiance, is they're heading out for the day. Hey, before I head out the day to my job this morning, is there anything I can do, anything I can bring to leverage what you got going on in your day today? I just want to know, anything I can do to kind of help you go up and faster and further today? Listen, guys, some of your wives, they won't ask you the question. They're afraid to ask you the question. They're afraid to ask you the question because, you know, they have asked the question before. Hey, would you mind stopping by the store on the way home? I mean, before we even open our mouths, they're feeling the resistance. Hey, would you mind swinging by and picking up, you know, your son or your daughter on the way home? Or, you know, hey, do you mind if I go out? As soon as our wives begin to ask the question, they immediately feel a resistance. And so what you're doing, man, when you ask this question, is you're opening the door. You're saying, hey, I realize you got a lot on your plate, and is there anything I can do to leverage anything you got going on today? Anything I can bring to the situation? Anything within my time, any time I can give to help things go more smoothly? Honey, is there anything I can do to help? And guys, I know what some of us are thinking right now, because you're thinking the same thing I thought as I wrestled through this a number of years ago. You're thinking, well, isn't anybody going to be in charge? I mean, isn't there going to be any authority anywhere? I mean, who gives the authority in the family? Who does that? You know, we're going to be sitting at dinner with fried chicken in front of us, and it's going to be like, well, no, you take that last big piece of chicken. No, you take that piece. And no, I want you to take that piece. I mean, we're going to be arguing over who gets to take the piece. Then somebody have to make a decision. Listen, this is so important. This has nothing to do with who's in charge. This has nothing to do with authority. This has everything to do with how the authority gets lived out. This has nothing to do with the decision-making process of how you work together as a team to make decisions. This has everything to do with how you work together as a team to make decisions. And listen, Dad, if God's called you to be the head of your church or of your home, then be the head of your home, just like Jesus laid his life down and served everybody in the church as the leader of the church. See, Jesus is the model right here. And I'm guessing, I mean, you know, in the history of the world, I'm just guessing on this. I mean, I don't talk to everybody in the history of the world, but if I could sit down and poll everybody, I'm guessing that there's probably not a single person that's ever thought, well, Jesus, man, Jesus can't be the head of the church. He can't do that. I mean, he gave his life away. He can't do that. No, I think what most people would say is it was actually because Jesus gave his life away that it qualifies him to be the head of the church. So, man, I mean, you don't have to be concerned. You don't have to be concerned about who's in charge or concerned about, you know, exhibiting your authority or, you know, how do I be the point person on everybody or on every situation or with everyone or how do I get everybody to do what I want them to do or how do I man up and, you know, just exhibit that testosterone and everything. We don't have to worry about that. You're not giving up authority. You're giving away the power that comes with your authority, just like Jesus did for you. Now, if you're not a Jesus person, if you're not a Bible person, that's cool. We realize every week there's a lot of people in here that are just checking us out, trying to figure out if they're going to believe Jesus is who he says he is. You can take the J-E-S-U-S and the B-I-B-L-E. You can take it all out. All right, take it all out of this deal. Here's the cool thing. This is a free application. It still works. That's the cool thing about the Bible. It still works. I mean, if you go home and you begin, you know, asking this question, hey, honey, what can I do to help? I guarantee you it'll change your family. Now, you might not want to go do it today, all right? I mean, if your family knows you came to church and you've not really been a Jesus person, they might be like, dude, you like sold out. You went to church one time and you're all in on this deal. I mean, you might like give it a few days, but try it. See if it doesn't work. And so, man, this is the bridge, practically speaking, to mutual submission. Now, before I wrap up, I want to talk about one more barrier that we all face, but especially as men we face, and that's the barrier of fear, all right? There's a fear in this. Now, you know, this is interesting because here's what I think we're all afraid of. I think maybe men more than women, And kids are definitely, your kids are definitely afraid of this. If they're sitting here today, they're thinking, man, if I go home and I'm like, hey, mom and dad, what can I do to help? They're like, I'm going to be pulling weeds all afternoon and washing the car. And I may have a whole day. And so, you know, because we're afraid that somebody's going to take advantage of us. We're afraid that if I offer to help, somebody's going to pull me into their gig and it's going to pull me off my gig. If I ask, hey, what can I do to help? It's going to take my time. I mean, I may not get some of the things done that I want to get done. It might require me to do something for them instead of getting my stuff done. It might actually require me to not be in the first position, but to be second or third or fourth. Because, man, they may have an answer to the question if I ask it. Here, this is why Ephesians 5:21 is so important. Take a look at it again. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So they have this image of God and Jesus sitting up in heaven, just having this conversation. And God looks down at this big old messed up world, and I just see him saying, oh man, it's getting really bad down there. And Jesus replies, he says, hey, Father, what can I do to help? And God says, you don't want to know. And Jesus says, no, really, what is it? What is it that I can do to help? And there's this long pause right there. And God eventually says, you're going to have to give your life to help. Another long pause. Jesus looks up and says, I'll do that. And God says, but wait a second, do you understand? If you go down and do that, you're not going to be first position anymore. You're going to have to be second. In fact, you're going to have to get behind every single person that's lived in the history of the world. You're going to have to be in line behind them in order to come under and beneath and lift them up. And Jesus says, I'm good with that. And so when the Apostle Paul, who spent time with the men who watched Jesus die on the cross, he says, out of reverence for Jesus, look at that. He says, you do this out of reverence for Christ because of what Jesus did for you. You say, hey, throw open the doors with all of my time, all of my talents, all of my leverage, whatever I have that could benefit you. I want to make that available to someone else. And yes, somebody might take advantage of it. Yes, I may not be in first position anymore. And yes, you might not get everything done on your to-do list or what you hope to accomplish today. But out of reverence and gratitude, do what your Savior did and come under and underneath and behind and offer everything you have to lift your family up. And the good news about this, here's the good news. 99.9% of the time, it's not going to cost you your life. All right, I mean, you're going to live. You're going to make it. Now, there may be frustrating moments. I mean, it might be that, when you say, hey, honey, what can I do to help? And she's like, remember that IKEA furniture? In fact, she doesn't even say anything. She just walks over to the closet and opens it up and points to the IKEA furniture still in the box. And you're like, dude, I know the parts aren't only going to be there. I mean, it's going to kill my fingers putting that stuff together. But that's just what you do. That's what you do when you're mutually submitting. So here's the thing. Here's what this question threatens. This question threatens, this is the key to a great family. This is the turning point on whether or not we will have great families. Adam Sandler in the movie Blended. I love the line. You'll have to listen for it if you watch the movie, because most of you haven't seen it. All right, so you'll have to, there's this great line where he says, hey, 99% of what I do, I give to my kids. And it was interesting, I read an interview about that with Adam Sandler, and they were asking him, they said, hey, does that really play out in your family? I mean, are you really that kind of dad? And I don't know how much you know about Adam Sandler, but he's like one of those great all-star dads with his kids. And he said, yeah, we really do. He said, 99% of what my wife and I both give goes to our kids. And he says, in fact, yesterday was Mother's Day. It was like the day after Mother's Day. He said, it was Mother's Day. We spent the whole day from sun up to sundown with our kids. We were playing all day. We'd been doing that the days before that, so it wasn't just because it was a holiday. And I said, man, the girls were wiped out. We got them, back to home that evening. And he said, I looked at my wife. I thought, man, they're so tired. We might get to go to a movie after they go to bed tonight. And so he said, we're getting them in bed. And then here's what he says right after that. He said, the next thing I know, my wife's sleeping. One kid's sleeping with my wife, and I'm up with the other one. And I thought, yeah, we're not going to the movies. He said, we almost got to do it. The difference when you have kids and someone wants to meet with you after 9:30, it's pathetic. It's like a giant sacrifice. Do I do this? Do I stay out to 10:30 p.m. and be angry all day tomorrow? Because that's what happens, right? You stay up. I mean, you pour yourself in, and you've got decisions to make. Am I going to go with my agenda, or am I going to mutually submit to my family? I mean, think about this for a moment. Just imagine how you could wake up tomorrow if your spouse came to you and said, hey, honey, what could I do to help? How would you feel if your kids walked in later this afternoon and said, hey, mom, dad, you seems like a lot going on. Anything I can do to help right here? Imagine your in-laws are living with you. Your mother-in-law walks in and she's like, anything I can do to help you today? I mean, imagine how your heart would you'd just be filled. And here's the gig. Here's the thing. You have the ability to provide this for your family. And the only reason we don't is because we're selfish. Listen, this is really important. The only reason we don't is because we're selfish people. Because we're standing here saying, hey, in order to do that, I have to loan myself out fully into the circle of family. And some of us are thinking, man, I'm not ready to do that. And if you're not ready to do that, listen, you'll never be happy with family. You'll never be happy. I mean, some of you think that, man, the ideal family is my kids just doing what I tell them to do and everybody doing it at the right time as long as they follow everything I say. Listen, that's not happiness. That's not going to lead to a happy family. You'll be large and in charge and control, but that won't be happiness. Right? That doesn't generate happiness at all. Happiness in the family is when there's mutual submission, one serving the other. Hey, what can I do to help? What can I do to help? Men, some of your wives cannot get you to lean in. You just constantly pull away. And they've never quite said it that succinctly to you before. But they can't get you to fully give yourself to the equation of the family. And so they have no choice but to live their lives orbiting around your big old life. I mean, your big old job, your big old responsibility. Oh, I'm making a paycheck. Hey, they probably are too. And so they're orbiting their lives around your big old life. Listen, I had to learn this 12, 15 years ago. I had to come to terms of whether I was going to make a change and begin to mutually submit to my spouse. And your wives, they're leaning in, and they just keep leaning in towards you and keep leaning in, and they lean in more and more and more. You know what eventually happens? They just fall over because they've leaned in so much. And you're like, what happened? Why are you on the ground, man? Pick yourself up. Why'd you fall over? Your kids, man, they're leaning in. They're leaning in. They just, because their whole thing is, well, I just got to obey dad. It's whatever dad says, got to do it right now. And you know, so they're just leaning in to try to make you happy. But you know what? You're not happy. I've talked to family after family after family. You're not happy. Because there's not a mutual submitting. You get happy when you loan yourself out fully to the equation of family instead of pulling away. Just like Jesus did for you. Last thought, I promise. When you want to ask it the least is when you need to ask it the most. Let's take our connection cards out. This is a card we filled out with Eric earlier this morning. On the back side are some next steps, and every week we give next steps because we're wanting to help you take steps where you say, okay, what does this mean for me this week? I mean, and these are big ones today. I mean, they're big ones every week, but these are big. And as you read through these, I want to ask you to just say, okay, what does this mean? Before I leave here today, how can I take a deliberate step that I can begin to walk out with my family? And, you know, for some of you here this morning, listen, you have the potential to have a great family. Things might be decent. You might be thinking, man, things are pretty good. Maybe things aren't so good. Every single family has the potential to have a great future family. The question lies in whether or not we're going to mutually submit. Some of you here this morning, you are hanging on by a thread. I mean, you've been hanging on by a thread for like months. I mean, you've been doing counseling, which I always encourage if you're struggling. You've been trying to figure out that one silver bullet. It's not a silver bullet, but I tell you what, this question will change your family. This will change your relationship. All right, these six simple words. Husbands, will you this week love your wives? Be considerate. Say, hey, what can I do to help? Wives, ask the question. Submit to your husband. Say, hey, what can I do to help? I realize there's responsibility in your shoulders. What can I do to help you today? Children, you have a role in this. Students, you're called to obey your parents. With that, say, hey, mom and dad, what is it? I mean, you asked me to do certain things, but what is it on top of that? How can I go the extra mile? What is it I can do to help additionally? And fathers, don't exasperate your children. Get out eyeball to eyeball and say, hey, it looks like you're struggling. Instead of me getting all over you right here, what can I do to help? What can I do to help maybe resolve this or bring a little of my leverage or my authority to this to help it go in a better way? See, if we refuse to ask the question, or if we refuse to enter into the dialogue on this, it's like we're Dorothy there standing. Remember the Wizard of Oz? Dorothy standing there in her ruby red slippers. She's like, I want to go home. I want to go home. And some of you are like, I want a great home. I want a great home. And what I wanted to say to Dorothy when I saw that movie as an adult, I mean, not as a kid, but as an adult, I want to be like, hey, do you realize you had the power and potential to go home the whole time? I mean, it lies within you. It's a choice that you can make. And that's the way it is for every single one of us this morning. We have the choice to decide, do I want a great home? And it starts with mutual submission. So look over your next steps and listen to the words of this song.